Greetings, dear, dear listeners, and welcome to another episode of The Working Experience, a very warm, open-arm audio embrace and a squeeze. This episode is brought to you by my company, One Circle Media. One Circle Media is a hybrid digital agency and media content creator. We create and design apps, websites, videos, social media content, and physical products. We are artists, directors, designers, producers, coders, editors, thinkers, makers, and creators who embrace story and creativity from design, web and app development, animation, docs, features, TV shows, digital and social media content to physical products. For our clients, we create content that builds networks and audiences across multiple platforms. Check out our work at onecircledigital.com and onecirclebrand.com. If you work for a network, studio, brand, startup, or corporation and are looking for a partner to create media that will build, engage, and entertain, reach out to me at john@onecirclemedia.com. I'd love to hear from you. This episode is also brought to you by an app that I created called Still Believe. Still Believe transforms a picture in your home into video proof of your child's favorite magical characters. With the app, parents can catch the magic of the Tooth Fairy, leaving money under their children's pillow, or Santa delivering presents on Christmas Eve in their home. You download the app, take a picture, and we create the magic. We utilize feature film visual effects artists to transform your picture into video. Just tell your kids that you have a special app that can detect and capture the Tooth Fairy, then present them with the video proof in the morning. The look on their faces is priceless. Your Still Believe video is created in minutes, and you can then save it to your phone and share it on social media. The app is available for the iPhone and Android, and it's free to download. Our aim is to bring joy and wonder into the hearts of children around the world. Check it out at stillbelieve.co. Thanks, everyone, and I hope you enjoyed this episode of The Working Experience.
The Working Experience.
Route 93 North is almost at a standstill. It's a rough one out there this morning. Snow and sleet.
There is no service on
the... Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Yeah, folks. We're going to be a few minutes. We have train traffic ahead of us. We should be moving shortly.
John, we need that report ASAP.
Where are we on that presentation?
Dan, HR wants to see you.
Did you return that email yet?
We have a team meeting at 10.
To stay late, Bob.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
They're moving in a different direction.
And after the meeting, we'll have a breakout session.
Who ate my
Where are my hot pockets?
This microwave is disgusting.
Oh, God, what's that
He was rubbing his
Sexual
toenails at his desk.
I
can't take it anymore.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Working Experience Podcast. It's Matty K.
And John, welcome, welcome, everyone.
And John, you've always been a huge fan of professional wrestling. I know.
Huge. I've got the WWE tattooed on my lower back.
Do you want to hear something awful? Do you want to hear something that made me want to cry? I was driving. Right?
Yes, please.
This guy calls into the sports radio station. He has the WWF tattooed on him, right? I mean, this guy's from he's from Massachusetts, I forget where. And oh my God, he's talking about this drinking game that he and his buddies do. They watch virtually, these matches. They do a Zoom thing, and he's like, yeah, every time this happens, we take a drink and everything, and man, you're just wicked hammered by the end of the second.
This guy must be a pleasure to live with.
What woman would marry a man who has the WWF logo tattooed on him?
No, the question is, what woman would not marry a man?
There are certain red flags, I think, for a woman. One, your potential mate plays video games and is over the age of 30. I'm sorry if I'm alienating people here, but I'm not saying it's just a red flag, okay? Number two, if your man is an ardent fan of professional wrestling and again is over the age of, let's say, 30, I mean, I would say 20, but I'm going to I'll push it to 30. I'll be fair.
You'll be generous. You'll give him a decade.
I mean, if you come home and your boyfriend, fiance, whatever, is lying on the couch watching professional wrestling, I got to say, you're getting a look into the future, and it's bleak. It's bleak.
It's bleak. It's very bleak.
Now, I watched, and I've never seen, it's like Friday Night SmackDown or something like that. It's on like three times a week.
As a kid, I watched professional wrestling.
The operative word being kid, yes. Yes, I did. Yeah. Jimmy Superfly, Snuka, Hulk Hogan. That was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it lasted into high school. And then college, it was kind of like a joke to watch it.
Yeah.
And then I just stopped.
Oh, if you're in college playing drinking games with your friends watching, you know, pro wrestling, that's fun. High school, I don't think I watched it in high school. I didn't really have any reason to. But I knew people who were into it. And there's always this debate, is it real, is it not, blah, blah, blah. I did a whole podcast with our mutual friend Chris about our experience at ECW, which is Extreme Championship Wrestling, in which I nearly left in an ambulance, the four of us. It got so bad.
But really?
Yeah, that'll be another story. So I saw it just out of curiosity. There was a match on, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks ago, and there were no fans. It was just two people. I think it was two women wrestling.
Well, the WWE was the... Did they even close down? Was there a close down and then a reopening, or was there no
really,
close down?
No, I don't. See, this is what kind of confuses me. So I saw that match. There was nobody in it. Now, what we're talking about is that in Florida, the WWE was declared an essential business, and they are allowed an essential business.
I'll tell you something. Only in Florida. Would the WWE be considered an essential business to life.
Where riding an alligator drunk is considered a sport, I believe.
Yes. Yes.
Just as a side note, have you ever seen Florida Guy?
No.
It's you type in your birthday and you see what insanely stupid thing somebody did in Florida on your birthday. Like, on mine, one of my students typed it in. I'd never heard of this. She was on her phone. She typed it in. Some guy, it usually involves alcohol and an alligator somehow. And somebody getting an appendage bitten off. Because they, like, this guy climbed into the alligator cage and his buddy filmed it.
So. Well, the whole Tiger King docuseries epitomizes Florida for me.
Well, a lot of that's Oklahoma, too. But yeah,
I know, and it's South Carolina, but it just speaks Florida to me.
Well, that guy's haircut is Florida. Oh. I mean, he's in Oklahoma, but he should be in Florida. As another side note, have you noted, I'm not going to talk about Tiger King, but everyone in that is bizarre. Everyone in that.
Everyone.
It's hard for me to someone who's not bizarre.
I have a good friend who worked on it as the DP, as the camera guy. And while this, you know, it was filmed over like 5 years. So I was working with him while he was filming this. And he was telling me like this crazy project he was working on, but they didn't know at the time like what it was going to be. Like they didn't know if it was going to be like a feature documentary, a TV series for like Bravo or whatever, or the Netflix doc that it eventually became. And he was going down to Florida, South Carolina, and every time he'd just come up with these pictures, like these crazy, like, tigers and snakes and just alligators. He's like, these people are insane.
And they're all just kind of, like, they're kind of scummy. They're all scummy, you know? They're
just... You know, it was after the first two episodes, it was tough for me to get through the series.
You know what were you going to say?
No, go ahead.
I was going to say the most reasonable together person is that girl who got her arm ripped off. Remember that? The only flaw I can find in her is that she went back after 7 days.
Yeah, spoiler alert, by the way.
But when she talked, like, she's the most reasonable together And his campaign manager, he's fairly reasonable, it seems. Like, you know, has a
perspective. Yeah, I mean,
but anyway.
Like, what I loved about, what is it, Joe, what's his name?
Joe Exotic,
is he had an outfit for every occasion.
I don't even know how much money he must have spent on that wardrobe. But then you see the way they live, like those disgusting trailers. And
oh Jesus.
God, so bad. Just, well, anyway, so the WWE was declared an essential business. They can have matches, but not in front of live audiences, which is what I just thought they were doing. So, as you say, I don't know if they ever really closed down or... And I mean... It's not an essential business. That's ridiculous. But if they want to wrestle each other in a closed stadium, I don't really see what the harm is. I mean, I don't, you know. I think they briefly suspended because an employee tested positive. And they claim he got fine. And so they have essential employees and they have wrestlers. But what I saw was two women wrestling. And again, as a side note, when I... In the 80s, like, there were no women involved except as sort of, like, side characters. But now women are, they're wrestlers.
Oh, yeah.
Very heavily. China, yep, was, like, kind of the first one, I think.
Yeah, China was, I think, the first one.
Yeah.
The first, like, big breakout.
Yeah.
But it's not just, like, for me, it's not just the two wrestlers. It's the whole team behind that to bring that together. I mean, obviously the fans are not there, but you have the whole entire production crew. You know what I mean? There's probably hundreds of people involved.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In just those two individuals wrestling.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if they engineer it so people can stay far enough apart, or if they, I mean, knowing the, well, I don't know much about the WWE, but I would say they're one of those businesses that probably doesn't care that much about health and safety.
Vince
McMahon, you know.
I don't think so. But it raises the question for, like, a league like the NBA is like, or baseball is like, how are they going to function, you know, in this COVID-19 storm? It's like, are there going to be no fans? Or is everyone going to be tested before the game and after the game? How reliable are those tests? What happens if there's a breakout?
Well, certainly it's probably probably basketball, I would say, physically is the most susceptible because, you know, football, they're wearing pads and they, you know, baseball, they're just kind of naturally very distant from each other. Hockey, you know, they're wearing stuff. I mean, basketball, you're all over each other with no protection at all. And I can't envision NBA players wearing masks while they're playing. I don't know how that would work. I suppose it could.
I mean, they have in the past. I've seen players wear like face masks if they like broke their cheekbone or their nose.
Yeah.
But it really wouldn't, it didn't like cover their entire face. Like, I don't know how you could even like, you know, breathe. It would be so weird for them to wear masks. And then again, they, like you said, they're like playing defense and offense. They're touching each other.
Yeah.
They're bouncing into each other. Yeah. I mean, it's a very physical sport. I don't know how you change the rules or alter that.
No. No, not at all. And I mean, even like football, they're wearing, you know, pads and stuff, but their faces aren't covered. I mean, I finally got some actual medical masks, and they're kind of hard. They're uncomfortable. Even when I'm just in the grocery store, I feel better when I can pull it off my face when I leave.
Oh, same here.
Because they're designed sort of to impede breathing. I mean, they're designed to keep stuff out. Getting back to the WWE, what I love here is the statement they issued. We believe it is now more important than ever to provide people with diversion from these hard times. Like, they're performing a public service, and no money
public
is
service.
Involved with this at all. So
it's all about service, Matt.
It's all about service. The fans, you know? Not that we want to, you know, profit off of this at all or anything like that.
Such a dirty word.
Heaven forbid. So what was interesting is that obviously the WWE is a big moneymaker. It's a big moneymaker in Florida. and they have a lot of clout in Washington. Vince McMahon is the majority owner of the WWE. His wife, Linda, is the former head of the Federal Small Business Administration for the Trump administration and is now in charge of a pro-Trump super PAC. So,
wow, I didn't know that.
Yes, they are. I mean, anybody with money is obviously very politically connected. But, I mean, his wife basically works for Trump. So there you go. The governor.
It's all coming together.
Yeah. The governor of Florida, Rick DeSantis, is a staunch Trump ally. Always has been. He's his little lick spittle down there. his boot licker. It's a lot of money. I mean, Trump appeared. Remember years ago, he was at WrestleMania?
He
would have, like, this is his thing. He loves this.
This is, yeah, he was in a staged encounter with Vince McMahon, right? Where he, like, hit him or he got hit or something like that.
I mean, they've always been, I think, very close. I mean, they're basically the same people. They're the same type of person.
right. In a different skin suit.
Yeah. I remember Vince McMahon when he first, the first incarnation of the XFL, which we'll get to, he was being interviewed by Bob Costas, who, you know, Bob Costas knows a lot about sports. Like, he's not
right
out of his depth. I mean, he's right in his depth. This is what he does. Vince McMahon doesn't know anything about professional football. I mean, he probably aside from the most fans, you know. So this was probably, 2001? I forget when the XFL, that was about 20 years ago. And Bob Costas was, you know, just saying, like, well, do you think this is going to be viable because of this? And I thought Vince McMahon was going to attack him. He's, like, sitting up in his seat. He's like, what are you talking about? He's got this look on his face like he's a feral animal. And he's just, oh, my God. Like, the guy is, he's Trump. Same person.
I mean, he's just on, like, he looks like he's on steroids 24/7.
Oh, I'm sure he is on steroids. I mean, nobody looks like that at his age. Plus his hair's like perfect, you know, it's that perfect coif that goes back. Have you ever seen the documentary Beyond the Mat?
No, I have not.
It is on Netflix right now. I saw it years ago, and they put it on Netflix. It's fascinating. It has, like, Jake the Snake Roberts.
Yeah.
They wrestle. I mean, there's the WWE, and then there's this whole circuit of lower rung. These guys will get paid like $50 a night, and they're wrestling in like a VFW hall, like out in the middle of Nebraska. And Jake the Snake is doing that. And he also had a serious.
See, that's
crack
the other
addiction.
Thing is, like, you know, obviously it's all staged and choreographed, but you can't underestimate the amount of physical abuse these wrestlers go through.
What are you going to say?
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, Jake the Snake is in the doctor's office. Doctor's looking at his knees. Doctor says, okay, your right knee, you've lost 90% of your cartilage. Oof. So the bones are, you know, nearly grinding together, blah, blah, blah. That's your good knee. Let's get to your bad knee. You have no cartilage left. And he's still wrestling. I mean, I would not like to get into a fist fight with Jake the Snake because you can't do anything to him. I mean, you could break a board over his head and he'd tie me into a knot. but yeah, it's a great, who's the guy? Mankind. He's from Long Island. He lives on Long Island. I can't remember. He went by Mankind. This guy would fall 25 feet through a folding table, smash onto, and he get up, blood all over him, and he's like, yeah, I can just take it, you know. He's got kids and everything. I mean, it just...
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, it's just a brutal way to earn a living.
It is. But, you know, people look at someone like The Rock, and that's what they're looking at. They want to, you know, parlay it into some sort of career, which...
Into superstardom. I mean, The Rock is probably the biggest success story out of professional wrestling.
Yeah, and he's won out of, you know, thousands of these people have gone through this grist mill.
Well, look at, like, you know, Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
I mean, he was larger than life, but he never transitioned over to...
He was in Rocky IV, or was it Rocky III? He was in one
of
the
yeah, that's
two.
True. I
no,
guess
no,
he
but
did
he wasn't
transition.
Acting. He was playing himself. I mean, he was just, you know.
Yeah, I know, but he still, I mean, he was larger than life.
Oh, yeah.
But you
oh,
look at all the yeah. other ones, like, there was a documentary on Andre the Giant. Remember Andre the Giant?
Yeah, this has been highly recommended to me.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, there was a story of, I can't remember what wrestler he was with. But they were going to drive from, like, L.A. to Vegas, and they get in the car, and, you know, they stop at a rest stop to get some gas, and he picks up two cases of beer and downs, like, 30 beers in a matter of 3 hours.
Yeah, apparently that guy could drink, and he liked to drink.
And he wasn't, I mean, he wasn't driving, but he was, you know, I forget the other wrestler he was with, but he was like, he's fine.
Yeah.
There was no, you couldn't tell he was drunk.
He was in a movie. He was in The Princess Bride, I think.
Yes.
Something
yeah.
That, like
yep.
That.
He was.
And, I mean,
yep.
He definitely could find roles just to play like that. Apparently he passed wind for 15 full seconds, something like that. Was that in the documentary? Someone told me that who watched it.
I don't remember that fact.
Pretty impressive. Not shocking to me. You remember the show The Greatest American Hero? Remember that
yes.
show? He was in an
yep.
episode of that. Or I don't know why I remember that. But yeah, so the WWE is carrying on through these hard times as a very public service to the rest of us. And I'm sure they're doing this all pro bono. But Vince McMahon may need the money because, shockingly enough, the XFL has filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
Shocking.
Yeah, absolutely shocking. Now... I Michael Lund.
And what was it? It was just one season, right?
One season, yeah. Not even a full
season. And when was... So the XFL, when did it first come into existence? Was it like 10 years ago when he
20.
Tried this out?
It was
20 years ago.
So full. John and I did a whole podcast on this probably, what, 2 months ago, something like that?
Something like that.
So the XFL, just to recap a little bit, this was put out there in, I think, probably 2000, something like that. A friend of ours actually worked for them for that season, and they folded. And so then in 2019, or 2018, I guess he hatched this idea, took a couple of years, and in February they had their debut. So the idea is, like, professional, NFL is done. And, you know, football is so huge that people are going to watch this to carry them over until the next football season. They did okay in the beginning. Not a huge amount. You know, they would get some ratings on TV. I watched a game or two. It was the first incarnation 20 years ago was ridiculous. They had these stupid nicknames that they would put on their jerseys. And it was just dumb. So they tamped that down, made it more legit, had some different rules. We did something on the salaries. Salary's not great. You know, they really didn't have any stars. The ratings were okay in the beginning, probably just out of curiosity, and then they dropped off, you know. And Michael Lund, their attorney, said the league was a victim of the pandemic like so many other businesses. I think they actually may have somewhat benefited from this coincidence because they can blame it on the pandemic, but I think it was sliding this way anyway from all accounts.
Yeah, I think the pandemic was the final nail in the coffin, but I don't think, you know, without the pandemic, I don't think they had much legs, too many more seasons ahead of them.
No, not really. So the XFL is trying to sell its name, its trademarks, and other intellectual...
How much is it? Can we buy it? Can we? Can
I was
work
thinking
experience
the
acquired?
We're the TWE, right? We already got a brand going. We're good. We are good to go. So they're trying to sell off their assets. Vince McMahon apparently took a huge hit. Now, he was billing... I heard some of this on sports radio. I read some of it this morning. He was trying to put it out there that the XFL was a totally separate entity from the WWE, which it came out in the Chapter 11 filings is not true, that they are substantially connected to each other through stock holdings. Some employees were working for both organizations. I think he was trying to do that because the first time it was just a joke. You know, it was like, this is professional right. wrestling on a football field. You know, Vince McMahon doesn't know anything about professional wrestling. The way he had it structured, there were no team owners. He owned the whole thing 100%. He made all the
decisions. I think you meant to say he doesn't know anything about professional sports. You said professional wrestling.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, he doesn't know anything about real wrestling. He's a promoter, and that's fine.
But he's a promoter, yeah.
It's kind of like stay in your lane. Like, you don't know anything about constructing a football team or anything like that. You know, instead of, and this is his ego, which is the downfall of just about everybody, instead of hiring people who knew things, coaches, you know, from the NFL, managers, whoever, you know, he was the only guy really calling the shots. And it's like, well, you don't know anything about this. Like, why? I don't know. That's the way these guys tend to be. It's like they know everything. They know everything about everything. It doesn't matter what it is.
Well, I mean, it's also, it's hard enough to begin with to try to compete with the NFL.
Right.
I mean, you're, the NFL, at least in America, is like, it's like the American sport.
Yeah.
I mean, the NFL is like red, white, and blue.
Oh, yeah.
So just to get a competing league is a gargantuan task to begin with. And then if you're not listening to people and doing things your own way, well, you see what happens.
Much like our president. Again, they are much the same as the other. And
cut from the same cloth.
Yeah, whenever there's a failure, it's, you know, like, I'm going to take all the credit for the success. But, you know, if it's a failure. And again, this pandemic seemed to come along very conveniently because it's like, oh, you know, it could have been great, but, you know.
The most unbelievable kind of low point for me is when Trump was boasting about his ratings during the virus. I mean, you have healthcare workers that are, you know, dressed from head to toe in protective gear, risking their lives, potentially could get this and die, and Trump is boasting about his ratings on TV.
Yeah. He was also boasting that China actually has more deaths than we do, so we're doing better. I mean, what kind of person's... People are dying, whether they're Chinese or not, or in this country or not. Like, oh my God. I don't know. This is like the perfect storm. We have the worst leader for this. I can't even call him a leader. I don't know. It's just the worst person at the worst time, you know? It's like, if the economy were humming along and people had jobs, you could just sort of, you know, ignore them. But then we have this. Remember, they kept saying, what will happen if there's an emergency? And they were talking about a flood or a tornado or something like that. Not this. I mean, this is like, I don't know. It's just sort of like cosmic that this happened. Sort of like a test of humanity, I guess. So the XFL...
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, back to the XFL. No, I was just... they're trying to sell off all their stuff. They need a judge to approve this by July 15th. They're trying to sell off their merchandise, their equipment, and other gear from the 8 teams. So you and I, we should snatch up those team jerseys, sell them on eBay. That's the next, scam.
That's the next hustle. Okay.
Wouldn't that be great? You show up at a party in like 3 months and you get a trunk full of XFL
team. Yeah, the league has folded and you're trying to shill the branded crap.
And you're like, look, it's going to come back and these are going to be so valuable.
It's like, who are the DC Hustlers? You know?
This is going to be huge. Come on. It's just another. Yeah, I can imagine this would be a funny parody, like a player. Because these poor guys just all lost their jobs, you know?
That does. I mean, and there's all the people who, you know, were behind the scenes. We don't mean to make light of that, especially in this environment. But
No, not at all. So they suspended their season in mid-March, like everybody else. They initially said they would come back for the 2021 season, and then they conducted mass layoffs and filed Chapter 11. They, according to papers, they have anywhere from $10 to $50 million in assets and liabilities. Don't you think they would narrow it down more than that? I mean, I don't know.
If Vince McMahon is keeping the books, that's a pretty good range.
According to WDEI, who did some research on this, Vince McMahon lost something like $1 billion. Like he took his stock, their stock took a huge hit. Apparently it took a hit before this because stockholders were not in favor of this. They could see this coming, which again speaks to this guy's ego.
The question is will he try to resurface it a third time?
Ooh, I don't know. I mean, he's not a young man. I think he's probably had a lot of work done. He looks the same as he did 20 years ago, but he's obviously 20 years older.
I think he may throw his hat in the ring one more time, maybe 2 or 3 years from now.
I don't know if he has kids. If he has kids, one of them might be trying to take the helm on this. So I think this probably had something to do with pressing to get the WWE up and going. Apparently, not everybody in the organization is a fan of this. They could see it going badly, but... them reopening the WWE if someone gets sick, or I don't know how much money they're going to make. I mean, it was, again, when I tuned into that wrestling match about 3 weeks ago, I mean, it was unwatchable. Like, it was just...
I actually caught a couple of minutes of it, too, and it was... I don't watch it. I was just curious because it was the only thing on.
Yeah.
It was unwatchable.
Yeah. Which leads us to other sports. So baseball is their last statement was they were going to try to open in mid-May.
That's not happening.
No, I mean, Massachusetts right now, I think yesterday, like the deaths in the United States doubled or something like that. Like, we're not exactly on a downward trend. So if you were just talking about the Red Sox and Fenway Park, I don't think that's happening in mid-May, because Massachusetts says we have a lot of it here. And even if they did, and they've talked about this with the NBA, the NFL, I think the NFL is holding high hopes they're going to open business as usual in August, which is possible.
It's possible. I mean, I think that, you know, for baseball, like the NBA playoffs, are those going to happen? All of this stuff that's kind of imminent within 30 to 60 days, it's going to have to be without fans. And there's going to have to be, like, the fans are, that's one of the last things that's going to, you know, come online is a stadium full of people. Yeah. It's just, people are going to get back to work, they're going to get back to school, but actually going to a sporting event and sitting, you know, 3 inches from thousands of people, that's going to be last on the list, in my opinion.
I think a lot of people, even if they did open, Gillette Stadium in August, like, or September opening, you know, the first game, I think people are still going to be very, very leery about being in a big crowd like that, as you say.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how it's all going to play out, because there are, you know, hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars at stake, you know, through ticket sales, concession sales, TV rights. They're going to try to make it work. Let's put it that way.
Well, from what I understand, they're really pushing for the, like the NBA, for example, they would be willing, at least the, what do you call it? The office, you know, management, they want to play to empty stadiums because they can get television revenue. And they right. also made the argument that you're going to get a lot more ratings because there's nothing to do. People are going to be home watching television, which, you know, may be true. But then it's like, the only precedent for this was in Baltimore when that guy Freddie Gray died in police custody under rather suspicious circumstances. And they had all these protests, riots, I guess you might call them. And there was a curfew or a stay-at-home order, and the Orioles had to play a game to an empty stadium. That was the only thing I could remember that was comparable to this. There may be other things that happened a long time ago, but it's weird. I mean, it'd be weird to watch an NBA game with no one in the stands. Strange, you know? Even if you're at home on TV.
Yeah, it would be strange.
And the players, I think a lot of players kind of object to it. They're like, even if everybody was healthy and they weren't worried about catching the coronavirus from each other, like the prospect of playing in front of an empty stadium is not all that appealing.
Yeah, no, it just to see like them, you know, the wide camera shot of the basketball arena with empty seats.
Yeah. So maybe they could put those cardboard cutouts like they do for movies. And they could play.
They could. They could digitally crowd put, noise. They could put a digital audience in there.
Yeah. And play crowd noise. I think crowd noise would help a lot for people watching at home. Probably help the players, too. I mean, it'd be weird.
Yeah. I mean, it would be really weird for them to play. It seemed like a practice.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, football games, again, they're, playing to an empty Gillette Stadium. There was talk. I mean, it sounds absurd, but these people are so desperate, like, of having a stadium that was isolated in the middle of, like, South Dakota, and all the teams and everybody was going to go there and live there, basically in quarantine, and play football games.
Like, really?
Yeah, I heard this idea floated. And I don't know, like, that's one of those way at the end of the spectrum ideas, but, I mean, they want
to think if
play.
You're messing, if you start messing with the NFL schedule, people are going to riot in the streets. I still attest to that. Like, it's going to be bad.
Yeah. I mean, people who live in, like, Kansas City, like, they're all about football. People who live in, like, you know, Pittsburgh and whatnot. But again, you know, players might be to themselves like, man, I don't want to get coronavirus and I don't want to be in a locker room with all these guys. Like, you don't know what anybody has or...
Right,
you know,
exactly.
And things like that. It's a very intimate situation. I mean, you're in there showering with a bunch of guys, you know. Living it
slapping
up.
Slapping ass.
Yeah. Snapping towels at each other. the PGA is... Now, you know what's funny? When you go on these people's official websites, it's very hard to get any kind of information. It's all like the news, the drafts, da-da-da. It's very little about like when they're actually going to open because nobody knows.
Yeah, everyone's skirting the issue.
Yeah. So the PGA Tour, so now I know very little about golf. This is more your alley. So the PGA Tour is a series of places they go. Is that correct?
That's correct. Then the season starts in January. I think it's one of the longest professional sports seasons.
Okay. So for the PGA, they were talking about trying to do something June 8th. Have one of the tournaments where it was at some location. Again, there was a lot of information. It was a little bit confusing, but they were going to try to kick things off.
Yeah, I mean, I think with golf, again, you know, you've got, if it's televised, you got to, you know, get hundreds of people behind the scenes and they would have to figure out, you know, a safe way to work and still like socially distance themselves. But, you know, you've got, you know, you could have golfers, you know, go out instead of playing, you know, with two people or four people that could just play by themselves. You know, there are ways to do it. You can easily socially distance in golf. And then you have the caddy that's with the golfer. You know, he just wipes down the gloves, wears a face mask. It's very, very possible to do it in golf.
I was going to say golf probably more than any of these other major sports. Like, how much does a golfer really care about a crowd there? I would maybe think it would be nice for them not to have a crowd there. I don't know.
Yeah, there's something to be said about that. And then the other thing, too, is like they're not really, you know, they're only touching their ball. Right. Do you know what I mean? Like yeah. the pin is touched by other caddies, but you could wear gloves. I mean, you could do golf safely.
Yeah.
Without crowds. Like once you have crowds there, people, then you have people congregating. You couldn't have crowds.
Have you ever been to a live golf match?
Yeah, multiple. Yes.
Really?
US Open. I've been to one in Hawaii.
Is there a lot of standing and walking?
Yes, yeah. there's a lot of walking. I mean, some people will park themselves in like the grandstands, usually by like the first hole or the 18th hole. But if you want to follow a player, you're walking the course. There's a lot of walking.
Is it an exciting spectator sport?
Not really. Not really. I mean, it depends. Like, if you're just going to like some tournament, like in the middle of the season. Depends on who you're following. But if you go to like the Masters or the US Open and you're into golf, yeah. you're going to find it exciting.
Yeah.
Like I followed Tiger Woods for one US Open and then I saw him play in Hawaii one year.
Right.
And when Hawaii was like the first tournament, and I was basically following him in the height of his stardom with maybe about 20 people and his wife.
Oh, wow.
Because like nobody was there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like anything else, if you're into it, it's exciting. I mean, for someone like me, I don't watch golf. I've never played golf, so. But I like
you would be bored. You would be bored to tears.
Right. Right. Exactly. But everybody's into something like curling. You know, people are into that. There's all kinds of what's going
to
happen.
I could get into curling right now.
What's going to happen to the curling season? What are they doing? Are they okay?
Can they? Well, the Summer Olympics. They're postponed.
Yeah. And I don't know what's going to happen with the Winter Olympics.
The Winter Olympics is not for another 2 years.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, even the ski areas, they closed down, which I was kind of like, I mean, it was getting towards the end of the season. The last time I skied was March 18th, and then everything closed after that. And I was kind of like, I don't really, you know, I mean, you do always have to think about the employees, like them having to go to work. Can be a problem. I can see an employee being like, I don't want to be around, you know, these people and da da da. I mean, skiing, unless you're on the chairlift, they were only allowing two people on at a time on a four-person chairlift. And it was just sort of understood you sat apart from each other.
But there's the other thing too is like skiing, if you're just skiing the mountain going up on the chairlift, I mean, you could even go one up at a time.
Yeah.
But like, you know, is the lodge open? Or is the bathrooms open?
The lodge was open, but they had taken all the tables out, and they said they only wanted 50 people in there at a time, and they had the chairs in a circle, all 6 feet apart. It was very strange.
Really?
Yeah, I have a picture of it. It was funny. Like, they were just trying to, you know... I mean, you could even close the lodge and just say, look, you got to get changed at your car.
Right, but, exactly.
You know, it was towards the end of the season. I guess they figured it wasn't really worth it. It was a great day of skiing, I got to say. It was like 40 degrees out. It was beautiful. But, yeah, there's always a lot of factors. Like, you know, when you think about opening up businesses, it's like, well, you know, you go to a CVS and everybody can keep apart from each other, but then... The cashiers are dealing with multiple people all day long, and you could see them being... It only takes one.
Multiple points of contact.
And some of those people are not wearing masks. I mean,
yeah.
You know, up until about 2 weeks ago, I totally poo-pooed the mask thing, but, you know, I got them now.
Now I see it. Now I see the majority of people. Well, in New York, you have to wear it. If you're going to be within... You're going to be in a public... place within 6 feet, you have to wear it. And now, if you go into businesses like, you know, supermarkets or, you know, restaurants or bagel stores or whatever it is, there's a sign that says you have to wear a mask or you can't come in.
Could you picture an 80,000 person stadium with everyone wearing a mask? Everyone sitting there with a mask.
I could. I certainly could. Yeah,
I know. They will be desperate. I mean, the NFL will be desperate. They'll be handing out masks at the gates to get people in there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Full hazmat suits.
Yeah. Well, folks, if you're a fan of pro wrestling, as we are, you are in luck. If you are a fan of the XFL, I'm sorry. But old Vince may pull it back out of the grave and try to pump some life.
Pull another rabbit out of the hat.
I can see the proverbial dummy down there. He's breathing into it. He's pumping the chest. He's trying to revive this. I mean, he's one step away from having women in thought. Well, there was the lingerie league.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I remember it. Yep.
I don't know if they do that anymore. That was pathetic. Like, if
bad.
You are
terrible.
If you're
like
going,
watching a train wreck.
Could you imagine the crowd of disgusting guys who go to that? Like, that's disgusting. Like, you're just a lowlife.
That's like the cruise ship crowd.
Oh, man. Yeah. All right, folks. Well, listen, hopefully for you sports fans, they'll get something together maybe by the end of the summer or maybe by the end of June. But hey, stay safe, wear your mask, be considerate of the people in the stores who work there. You know, if you're not wearing a mask, you could be putting them at risk. So think about it. All right. Think about it.
Yeah. And you know, someone's going to figure something out for everyone to be entertained, you know, whether they put on some curling, maybe some ping pong, pool. They'll figure something out. Don't worry.
And just
have hope.
Just remember, the WWE is doing this because it's important now more than ever. It's a public service.
Absolutely. If you're not a fan, maybe you should become a fan.
Hey, talk about heroes, right? Talk about heroes.
Heroes.
Yeah, Vince McMahon should get a medal for this.
They're the front line, the first responders.
And I don't want to hear any cynicism about money either. I don't want to hear any of that. Old Vince, he's concerned about you. All right, everybody, thanks a lot for listening. We'll be back at you later in the week.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of The Working Experience. We'd like to thank our sponsors, One Circle Media and the Still Believe app, the only app that delivers video proof of the Tooth Fairy and Santa by simply taking a picture. Download the app at stillbelieve.co today and amaze your kids. And if you work for a studio, network, startup, or corporation and are looking for a partner to create media that will build, engage, and entertain your audience, reach out to me at john@onecirclemedia.com. I would love to hear from you. And that's it. The end. The sweet end. Until our next audio encounter.